Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Davis Manick, joined by Pat Corain today. Had Bime4 on earlier in the week talking best ball mania. But we got a bunch of rookie drafts going on right now, so we figured it would bring us back to Dynasty. Really funny on ship chasing last night. You guys were like, yeah, you know, we did the Dynasty show last week, and now we're giving the people best ball. And then Gretch was like, let's talk about Dynasty League settings. Really fun. The people, they love the best ball. But I spend more mental energy, honestly, thinking about these like $100 Superflex best ball dynasty leagues than thinking about best ball mania. Honestly, I think I do.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's why, you know, we had the listeners of Ship Chasing maybe did better than we did. Although Pete obviously had an incredible year. But yeah, I mean, I love thinking about the dynasty stuff. I think it's more, for me, for whatever reason, I just find it more fun. Although I'm going to make more of an effort this year to dive into the schedule release we got coming up and everything.
I'm crushing those week 17 games. I've cranked out 22 best ball drafts up until this point, and in Best Ball Mania 3. And I was like, I need to just take a chill pill and wait for the schedule to come out. Like, I need to just get like a 24-hour cool down, because obviously that is one of the big things that we are going to learn. And then, like, you know, 20 of these teams are going to have a torn ACL somewhere. Like, doesn't it just feel like one of these Chiefs wide receivers is going to get hurt in camp? That, like, I'm starting to get one of these premonitions that, like, MBS is going to get a high ankle sprain something like that. It's because I, you know, last year we said, like, you know, Chief every draft, but now it's free as hell to take a Chief in every draft. You don't even have to pay. You can just be like, Ronald Jones might score 10 touchdowns. He's in the 11th round. It's like, you don't even have to pay.
It is. I mean, and this is the Ronald Jones story, is that he's always like two rounds cheaper than I think he should be. And once again, he's two rounds cheaper than I think he should be.
So
I'll have plenty.
I think the big thing we wanted to cover today was I'm in four concurrent rookie drafts right now, FFPC and these MFL leagues combined. And I think there are two huge tier breaks that really change how you should value the picks. I think the first huge tier break is after five. So Burks, Brees, London, Jameson Williams, Garrett Wilson. If you are an FFPC grinder, you would say six with Kenneth Walker. Mm-hmm. That has not been how these leagues have played out. Kenneth Walker was in danger of maybe not being a first round pick in our crazy league where everyone's tanking. And then I think the other tier break is the extreme one is after Rashad White and Trey McBride go in the second round. And then after that point, it's just like, I don't have any differentiation between Desmond Ridder and Tyrion Davis Price 15 picks later, basically.
I think the quarterbacks belong in that tier. I think Matt Corral and Desmond Ridder do give you a pretty unique opportunity to take like a pick that, you know, to your point with Tyrion Davis Price is normally like a low probability running back flyer, or like a interesting but not elite tight end type of pick, and turn that into potentially a first round pick down the line. You know, Matt Corral, it's a tightrope that they got to walk. You need, like, Matt Corral has to beat out Sam Darnold this year, but that's pretty likely. Then he has to show enough to where they don't draft someone.
I'm drafting Matt Corral in Best Ball Mania 3 right now, like he is going to start the most games at quarterback for the Panthers. Like, when I take DJ Moore, I'm taking Corral and not Darnold.
I think that's the right way to go, especially because, you know, the final weeks are what really matters. So, and I imagine if you're taking a Corral, it's a three quarterback build, right? So I just think Sam Darnold stinks. And I think Matt Corral, I mean, you got to think about why these guys are falling in the draft to some extent, right? And with Matt Corral, there was some like off the field stuff that we heard teams were worried about. I mean,
and he's undersized.
He's undersized, right?
He's undersized, yeah.
But he can pretty easily outplay his draft position, I think. I have a lot more interest in him than Ritter. But even with Ritter in these dynasty drafts,
I'm pretty interested in both of them just because they both landed in spots where if they just happen to play well this year, and they might not. Yeah. They might not, like Ritter and Corral might just suck and the team has moved on and they're taking someone else next year. Like Geno Smith, right? Geno Smith, second round pick, he sucked, team moved on, no problem. But if either of them happen to play well, or even honestly, even if Corral, if the Panthers go on like a 3-game winning streak where Corral doesn't turn the ball over or something like that, and then he kind of stinks or plays average for the rest of the way, that might even be enough to give them pause on taking another quarterback or trading for Jimmy Garoppolo or trading for Baker Mayfield or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And the available quarterbacks seem to be, you know, so much more talented than they were a couple years ago. And, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if Ryan Tannehill was available via trade after the end of the season, you know, like that, that's the type of, so you could,
oh, that seems, I think this is Tannehill's last year with the Titans, I think.
Yeah. I think it's very possible that it's his last year. So you do have to worry with Corral and Ritter that like they might have to show a lot to get through. On the other hand, this is a league where Davis Mills was like whatever last year and is going to be starting another year. So it, I think like for what you're paying in these rookie drafts, they're good bets, both Corral and Ritter. And it probably is like Davis Mills where you're not going to find that he's an attractive trade asset after the year because people are waiting for the other shoe to drop.
No, but you can bank the points though. It's like if you yeah. took Davis Mills, for example, super flex league, you have you're good, you're locked in starting quarterback. You know, your Dak, your Aaron Rodgers, your Brady, Stafford, you know, your QB1, right? That has the job for the foreseeable future. Then you have your Fields, your Lawrence, Trey Lance, you know, one of those guys, right? Like a Hurts, you know, like a good starting quarterback, but a guy that, you know, the range of outcomes remains wide. But then you also have Davis Mills. You know, you took Davis Mills in the third round of your Superflex league last year. You're just banking those points. You're like, if he gets 10 starts this year, that is gravy. You're like, I'm not trading this guy because I'm not like it's so much better than having to trade a second round pick for Derek Carr or whatever. Like that is greatly preferable.
I sent a second round pick for Baker Mayfield in one of these super flex leagues where the quarterback market is just super tight. I've won the league last year, but I've got Aaron Rodgers and I think Tannehill, and it's just like it could get real bad real quick. So yeah, I mean you can get like kind of in a bad situation where I mean Davis Mills, but to my point with Corral and everything, they're not like exactly win now pieces, but I do think they're best for competitive teams because you do want to bank, you want to actually be able to use the points.
Or tanking teams that already have like four quarterbacks, right? Like, so I have a couple of these teams where I have like Pickett, Lawrence, my auction team. I have Pickett, Lawrence, Mahomes, and Mac Jones. So if I had Davis Mills or if I had, which I did not have the opportunity because of the way it fell to take Ritter or Corral, I would be smashing that button because the points can't hurt me in a basketball. Those points cannot hurt me. And maybe those guys are good. And that frees me up to trade Trevor Lawrence or that,
exactly.
You know, what it's quarterbacks. Yeah. Quarterbacks are like the bond market of fantasy football. Where like, as long as the guy doesn't get hurt or he retains the starting job, those guys were like the fact that you could get something for Baker Mayfield who like doesn't have a job right now, I think is indicative of that.
And like the Trevor Lawrence, you know, still going very high despite being terrible last year, just because he, you know, he was the number one overall pick. He's definitely starting for this year, next year. There's no doubt, but like, I don't know. Is he good? You know, but it's like, it doesn't matter. We're taking him in like, where's he going in these startups still? Like second round? It's kind of nuts.
Hurts?
No, Trevor Lawrence. I'm pulling up the ship-chasing startup.
The Trevor Lawrence thing is like, it's one of those things where his startup value is not equivalent to his trade value at all. Like, I think if I tried to get a 2023 first for Lawrence right now in a lot of leagues, I don't think I could, but his startup value is still incredibly high.
He went 302 in this startup that we're doing.
Yeah.
Super flex. Not best ball.
That was another thing I wanted to...
No, it is best ball.
Another thing that I wanted to get out in this show, which is that this 2023 class is like, I would be doing a lot if I had a bad to middling team right now to get 2023 first, because it's going to be insane. It's going to be the reverse of this class. So we have like,
is that why you sent me a trade where I get Patrick Mahomes and you get all of my 2023 picks?
Yes, that is correct. So they have this guy. So we have this guy, Bijan Robinson from Texas, who is going to be he's going to go in the first round of the NFL draft. Last year as a 19 year old at Texas, he had 1,200 rushing yards, 26 receptions and 15 touchdowns on like a bad Texas team. He was unbelievable. And then we have the quarterbacks who run a little bit, Bryce Young, CJ Stroud. Quarterbacks will always change. There'll be a guy we don't even know of right now. Like Kenny Pickett wasn't supposed to, so that'll come up.
Well, like Sam Howell was supposed to be an early first round pick and everything.
I mean, the Oklahoma guy, he was, who's name, Spencer Rattler. I mean, he was supposed to be like the next Kyler Murray basically. And he sucked and got benched. But the big prize is, buddy, wait until Jackson Smith and Jigba. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, this guy, the trade packages, like, because now that we've seen it, now that Ja'Marr Chase has already gone from being top five pick to being arguably the number one player in all of dynasty fantasy football, I think there are going to be people who take him like first overall in startups next season before he's played a down of football
in startups.
Yeah,
first overall in startups. Wow.
The lore, like the lore around him is already insane, you know, because like he got Jameson Williams to transfer. Like he was so good that he got first round pick Jameson Williams to transfer to Alabama. And as a, how old is he? He's got to be 18 years old.
He was 19 last season. Yeah.
So last year, younger than first round picks Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave, he outproduced, like he shit on them. He had 95 receptions, 1600 yards and 9 touchdowns, younger than the 2 first round picks. I mean, people are just going to lose their minds on this guy.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, I've been super excited about him. Like you do research on Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson and you come out going,
and you come out going, these guys weren't even the best player on their team. They got dominated by a 19 year old.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. It'll be interesting. I'm glad I have there's almost nothing better than having someone's pick and then watching them tank.
You have Leone's pick and it's like you selecting Bijan Robinson or Smith and Igba with Leone's pick is like it's gonna be contending to be my favorite moment in fantasy sports history.
Well, he got Matt Ryan, so I think it's pretty fair.
You know what? I have to give Leone credit. I've seen him do this in another league where he messed everything up trying to reload like a decent team and he tore it all down. He had the worst dynasty team I've ever seen in this Fantasy Insiders League that we've been doing for like 5 years. And he just had like 8 picks in the second round of this draft that weren't like he knew what to do. He handled it the right way. Certainly much better. He's doing a much better job of it in that league than I'm doing in this auction league that we've done where I got to say that I got owned in this rookie draft, Pat. I mean, my soul got owned by JJ. So I had the second pick in this draft, right?
Yeah.
You take Burks ahead of me. So I'm like, fuck it. I don't want Drake London. I don't want Breece Hall, but I felt fine about, you know, potentially getting Garrett Wilson or whoever and getting the pick. So I trade back. Then I realize what I really want.
Would you trade back with me? I think I sent like the 303 to move up from 4 to 2.
I got a third from you. Then I got a third again from, I don't remember who, to trade back from Dink to trade back to 5. Then
for,
I got,
that was to for Gretsch. You traded back from 4
I
to
traded
5
back
with
from
Gretsch.
4 to 5. And I got a pick from Gretsch. Then I got another couple picks from Dink. Then I traded back to 8. And I'm like, buddy, Sky Moore range. We got it. It's done. It's in the bank. So I did pick up a bunch of extra picks, but
you
I was
picked
thinking,
up 3/4 and a third.
Two-thirds and two-fourths.
Okay. All right.
Two-thirds and two-fourths, which
okay.
in retrospect is awful because I didn't get who I wanted. Had I got who I wanted, I would have – had the swap been Drake London versus Sky Moore and four future picks, I'm like, buddy, got it done, got it in. But, of course, JJ snap takes Sky Moore at the 107 instead of Kenneth Walker. Instead of Kenneth
snapped,
Walker.
He snapped, put the pick on the block and traded it to me, and I took Sky Moore.
Oh, well, whatever. You're such a dick. it was one of my – that was – and sometimes the room has had you. Sometimes you have just been owned, and I had been owned. I got owned.
Well, I mean, I was wondering what you're going for there because I have – in this league, I traded for –
You just have too many picks. You could have gotten whoever
you wanted.
I have
too many picks. Yeah. I have, like, rocket fuel attached to this speedboat, and you're, like, canoeing around the bay, you know, trying to get to 108.
Well, that's been
all I can do is I've already prepaid for this tank of jet fuel.
That's been the problem with this whole attempt at my rebuild, which has been that you went even harder at it. Before this, you had even fewer stable assets and more tankable assets, whereas half of my jet fuel is in Patrick Mahomes. And so that is whose value declined last year, right? Which is definitely part of it. It's like Mahomes is no longer, like, I assume he didn't go 101 in the startup. I assume Josh Allen did.
Josh Allen, yeah.
Yeah. Which I think is wrong, but it's fine. I mean, that's neither here nor
there. I think it's fine. I mean, he's a bit more of like a win now type of bet, I think. I don't know, just because you're kind of depending more. I don't know. Maybe this is just like a weird bias I have, but it just feels like Mahomes is going to like be awesome at 33, and I don't know about
how about be awesome at like 38. That's what it is, which is also kind of an insane way to game this out. Like, are we still going to be playing this league when Patrick Mahomes? I mean, I hope so.
I mean, you might not. You threatened to quit the league when you didn't get Sky Moore.
I literally told Leone that if Sky Moore gets taken ahead of me, I quit, and he's got to find someone to take this team. I was like,
you left our group chat.
I was so mad. Cause you do the rookie drafts and you just have these guys you really want and you game it out and you're like, oh, boom, bada bing. Like, and I was counting on someone taking Kenneth Walker, which did not happen.
Right. Well, if you had stayed at five, would you have taken Sky Moore or would would you have?
No, I would have just taken him. I would have just taken him instead of Garrett Wilson, which meant that Foreman, who took Olave at six, would have just gotten Garrett Wilson at a really good price.
Yeah.
So annoying, dude. I'm so annoyed. And although, to be fair, for the specific tank that I'm trying to do, Kenny Pickett, probably a better pick.
Yeah, I think Kenny Pickett's fine, and he's going to hold value. No one wants Kenny Pickett right now, but
they will.
I don't know. I mean, what'd you say?
I think they will.
I think they probably will somewhat.
A lot of the conversation about Kenny Pickett is like how bad his situation is because of the offensive line. Like, I've seen this take that, like, oh, Ben Roethlisberger, this Hall of Fame quarterback, he changed his whole game to play behind this piecemeal offensive line. But I don't, isn't a lot of the research.
His arm fell off. I think that might have had something to do with it.
Isn't a lot of the research that we've done now, like Bales was saying this on draft night, and like, I kind of disagree with him, but maybe he's right, that quarterbacks actually can improve the play of their offensive line with their like decision-making, and like quarterbacks tend to own sack rate and shit like that. And I mean, can you ask for three better dudes to throw to I guess Burrow throwing to Chase and all those dudes.
Yeah.
But I mean, he comes in and he's got Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, George Pickens, Eric Ebron, noted professional player, Eric Ebron, Pat Freiermuth, and, a fine pass catching running back. And a great coach.
Yeah. No, I think it's a good situation for him for sure. And like, Deontay Johnson can get open very quickly. If they have Chase Claypool in the slot, that would be pretty interesting because Johnson can get open quickly on the outside. And Pickens is going to be like a classic X, I would think. I don't imagine how you have him in the slot. So if Claypool's in the slot, it's like a huge target in the slot. Pretty easy for Pickett to get the ball out quickly to him. But I also wonder if, you know, we see more scrambling out of Pickett than people really expect. And it's a little Daniel Jonesy, I think, where
he scrambled a ton in college. He was not like a designed rusher, but he scrambled. I mean, the Pickett rule, right? He got a rule named after him.
Yeah. And I think, like, you know, Daniel Jones was a bad real life pick and a low upside quarterback. And then once we saw him play, we were like, oh, but he runs. Like, we're now interested. Daniel Jones was actually quite expensive after his rookie year. I traded him for like what became Trevor Lawrence and Justin Herbert. It was amazing.
Nice.
So I think I had to throw in a second there, but it was well worth it. But, you know, you can see a pretty big boost on these guys in terms of the perception of, in fantasy. Once we see that they run, and that offensive line issue is only going to make him scramble more. So I don't view him as like a super low ceiling fantasy quarterback. Like, he's not going to be like a Jimmy Garoppolo level scorer, I don't think. I think he'll be okay. I think he'll be kind of that, like, around 20 points per game type of range, maybe just under that, but he should be totally fine. The issue is, if he stinks, they may just move on. 20th overall pick, like, not enough for them to necessarily double down. Like,
they probably pick 20th again. And the 20th pick next year is going to be like the quarterback 5 probably or something.
Yeah. Although, I mean, if they miss the playoffs with Pickett after making it with Roethlisberger the last couple of years.
That's true.
I mean, that's not Tomlin's deal. Like, he doesn't miss the playoffs. So I do think the floor is a little lower, but I also think the ceiling in terms of his trade value in Superflex is probably higher than people are really giving him credit for.
Yeah. I feel like we don't talk about this enough, which is that the dynamics of your league influence these decisions so much, because there is this specific league that we're in. And honestly, I assume a lot of hyper competitive leagues with lots of trades are actually like this, where there are, like, at any given time, two teams that are really going for it and 4 or 5 teams that are actively selling off, and that creates such a buyer's market. Like, even if Kenny Pickett, let's say he runs for 400 yards and 3 touchdowns this next year, he still probably is not good enough for a team to sell a first round pick for, because they probably already have Kyler Murray and 2 other, like, pretty decent quarterbacks, which is kind of like, that stuff really needs to influence your decision making.
This is why I actually prefer leagues that are a bit more shallow, like around 20 players is, I think, probably the sweet spot, in my opinion, because it allows teams to rise and fall more quickly.
Yeah.
And so you don't tend to see teams just kind of go into full tank, full win now, because it can be kind of hard. Like, if you're stuck in the middle, and I am stuck in the middle in one of these leagues, it's really hard because you're like, I don't want to blow this team up. I have pieces I like.
Yeah.
But also, like, I can push in and still be nowhere near where I need to be to win it. So getting stuck in the middle in one of these deeper leagues is, like, really frustrating and can take you years to dig out of. If you do manage to get to the top, you can stay at the top for a long time, which is fun. But, you know,
dude, it's really true. Like, if you have some of the elite assets, and you get lucky on, like, you know, 3 picks in the startup or whatever, like, you just really hit on those. I mean, you can just pick off your 20 through 30 guys for, like, 4th round rookie picks, like a 4th round rookie pick for injured Odell Beckham, who's going to come in for me, 3rd round rookie pick for Raheem Mostert and Chase Edmonds combined. You know, like, it's so, it creates such an advantageous situation for the deeper teams that already have the elite assets.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, some of those guys, like, I'm in a league where we happen to draft pre-draft 2020, and I had like CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson. And it's like, if you get those guys at a bargain, it's just, like, hard to compete with a team that happened to hit on the right guys at the right prices. Other teams, I think smartly, other teams are like, I don't want to be in the middle, right? I'd rather have why am I going to sit and have the 107 every year? That doesn't sound fun. I'm going to push. So, you know, like, we did an auction. It's like, you realize that you're not going to win it, and you're like, well, I might as well lose it real bad.
Oh man. Two of the worst, I mean, worst decision I've ever made in my life. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is at the nexus of so many losing decisions for me. It's so brutal. And the powers that be making him a 9th round pick this year, What am I even supposed to do?
What, oh, no. Oh, no.
He's going behind Miles Sanders.
Yeah, you know? I think that's because I'd rather have Miles Sanders. Wouldn't rather Miles Sanders?
No.
Who's playing ahead of Miles Sanders?
Jalen Hurts. Like, that's the big issue. The big issue with Miles Sanders is, like, Hurts doesn't really throw to the, like, he is like all-time trap touches guy. Do you know that Miles Sanders literally did not score a touchdown last year? Like, literally did not score. Is that not, like, that does that not blow bad. Your mind?
That's pretty wild. I mean, I'm not like a pro Miles Sanders guy. I just, CEH is like a pass catching specialist who doesn't catch passes very well. So it's sort of a tough.
Somehow Kenneth Gainwell had 5 rushing touchdowns despite like literally not playing. Like Kenneth Gainwell.
That seems like a lie. Like, I think whatever site you're looking at is just wrong.
These are the Eagles rushing touchdowns. Jalen Hurts had 10 on 139 rushes. Boston Scott had 7 on 87. Gainwell had 68 carries and 5 rushing touchdowns. Jordan Howard had 86 and 3 rushing touchdowns. Miles Sanders, 137 carries, 0 touchdowns.
Wow. Now, did he get kind of, because remember the Eagles were very pass heavy. They had like the fewest running back rushes.
Yeah.
They think was team history. Like one of the beats was like, I went back a long time and I think this might be a team record for the fewest running back carries in a game. And then shortly after that, they went super run heavy the rest of the way. But Sanders was banged up last year. Did he?
So the games that Sanders missed, I believe the Eagles had 8 rushing touchdowns in the games that he missed. That like one of the games he missed was against the Lions when Scott scored twice and Howard scored twice.
Okay. All right. So he would have had at least one.
But still
this season.
Still. Yeah, yeah. Like the fact that Jordan Howard is literally coming off the practice squad and getting carries that Miles Sanders never got.
Yeah,
I don't want Miles Sanders. I've yet to draft him. Yeah, that's
fair. I don't want Miles Sanders either, but I also don't want CEH.
you don't want CEH as let's see where his underdog is. CEH
good
today.
At anything? What is he good at?
No, he's the 4th best running back on the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean Derek Gore can play. I've like seriously, like if they gave Derek Gore a run,
he'd
be pretty good.
So right now, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going behind Damian Harris, Miles Sanders. So this is right. I actually would rather have Dylan. I would rather have Patterson, and I would rather have Harris. But I definitely prefer CEH to Pollard, Hunt, Singletary, and like just like total timeshare guys. Guys who
I'd rather have Pollard. Pollard's awesome.
I mean, you know, like we know the deal with Pollard. Like if Zeke gets. Buddy, my favorite thought exercise of the offseason. If Zeke comes into camp and ruptures his Achilles, does Pollard just go first? Like, not in the first round. Does Pollard just go first?
I mean, no, but, like, he's going first round for sure.
They do not have a third running back.
Yeah. And Pollard's so good. He's so good.
He's unbelievably undersized. Good.
You don't want him to do everything, but, like, I don't know. He's like immediately like it would be as if, and maybe this is hyperbolic, but it does feel to me like if Alvin Kamara was like a little younger and on the Cowboys, like that's how well Pollard played
last year. I don't think that's hyperbolic at all. Do you know that Pollard? I mean, this is he finished like RB19 last year, I think.
Yeah, give me Pollard all day. Like you're gonna get some scoring from him. Like I truly can't imagine taking CEH over Pollard. Like. What is the upside case? I mean, best ball, whatever, you need the points, blah, blah, blah. But, like, if we're in a redraft league, I don't want to be starting CEH ever. So, if I'm taking a running back there, it's because I'm hoping that I get that 4 or 5-game stretch of Pollard starting and it wins me the league.
Well, no, I mean, I think that's a big difference between best ball and managed. Like, I probably will not be caping up for Clyde Edwards-Helaire when we come around to doing main events.
Yeah,
Pollard I will want on those teams. Yeah. Okay, anyways, back to the rookie drafts. So the two guys who I think have the widest range of where they go depending on who you're playing with are Walker and Willis. So Walker, if mm-hmm. you're playing in these FFPC grinder league, I mean, he goes second. He literally goes second.
Yeah. I have seen, I'm in some of these leagues that are the shallower ones I'm talking about that are 20 players, and he goes within that second to four range. I've seen like London go ahead of him.
Nothing anyone can say makes this make sense to me.
It is tough, man. It's tough, like, because we also know that the Seahawks took Rashad Penny in the first round and then didn't really play him. So, like, they just spend picks poorly. Like, they're just down to take. They're like,
I mean, they do this all the time with their first round picks. They that Collier guy, the edge rusher, he's barely played for them.
It kind of to their credit, because they sort of seem to run like a meritocracy at certain positions.
That's Pete Carroll's thing. Is that he says whoever plays the best is who's playing,
which I like, you know. But at the same time, there is sort of like times where you go, you know, you did take Rashad Penny in the first round for a reason. Like maybe try him out for a couple of games and see if he's actually better. I know he's banged up a ton.
So let's do this thought. Let's do this exercise. These are the players that the Seahawks use either their first round pick or just their first pick on the draft in, right? Last year, Dwayne Eskridge was the first player they had available. He was at 56. He got 20 targets. He scored one touchdown.
He was hurt some of the game, but he's also a terrible pick.
He was hurt. Jordan Brooks was their pick at linebacker 2 years ago. He recorded 57 tackles his first season and apparently played a ton last year. So to their credit, he didn't play much as a rookie, but played a ton his second season. I don't know the state of the, like, maybe that was because of injury or whatever. I'm not going to pretend to know. The year before that, what this selection was universally mocked, LJ Collier. He is an edge rusher with 3 career sacks in 3 seasons. And the year before that, it was Rashad Penny. The year before that, it was a defensive tackle named Malik McDowell, who seems to have never played for them, seems to have been cut and played for the Cleveland Browns last year. So what I'm saying is, I don't think the fact that Kenneth Walker was selected with the 41st pick necessarily means that the team has big plans for him.
The other thing that's like so tough for Kenneth Walker, it's just like the absolute worst landing spot for him. Because, like, I mean, the offense obviously is going to be terrible. Maybe they trade for Mayfield, but it's still not going to be good if they trade for Mayfield. And it could be horrific if they start Drew Lock and then Geno Smith plays. It could be so bad. So, you know, that's obviously terrible. But you're also looking at a guy who has this receiving profile where a lot of players with his receiving profile end up being 2 down guys their entire career.
Yeah.
But you don't always see that. Like, James Robinson had a similar yards per route run and, you know, it was kind of a 3 down guy. So he, I think, would have a path to that type of like a Joe Mixon type of archetype, where he's not like necessarily immune to someone coming in and playing like a 3rd down back type of role, but he also isn't strictly a 2 down guy. I think Kenneth Walker could be that type of back. But it's not going to happen on the Seahawks unless
they trade for Baker Mayfield or like, so if they do,
they don't throw to the running backs. They gotta get rid of Pete Carroll for him.
Well, you know, the other annoying thing is that they play DJ Dallas and Travis Homer.
Right.
That's like we're looking at a potential spot where like Kenneth Walker and Rashad Penny are sharing early down duties on a 4-win Drew Lock led team, and Travis Homer and DJ Dallas are coming in on 3rd downs and 2-minute drills.
That is what is going to happen.
That is unbelievable. I mean, that is so bad for them.
It's so bad. It's so bad. But I mean, like, and I think honestly, Carroll's gonna love it because Penny is like really good as a runner. And Walker's really good as a runner.
That's
and
really, really my biggest issue is just that Walker might not be the best running back on the team.
He probably
really,
isn't, right?
It's really like, my big
right call. Now. Maybe he will be by the end of the season, but you know, he's 211 pounds. In order to do what he did at the NFL level, he probably needs to put on a little bit of weight. Like he's got the archetype of like more of like a 220 pound type of running back. So I don't know. And does he have a goal line role to the weight point? Like, if he doesn't have a goal line role, dude, it could be so bad for Kenneth Walker this year. It could just be really, really bad. And if you think about Dynasty with these, like, okay, the guy has been revealed to be a two down running back on this team that's completely lost, and he's not used at the goal line. Talk about a player that's not going to retain their value. So
talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but on a bad team. That's literally what we're talking about. We're literally talking about a two-down back who doesn't get goal line work, but instead of playing with Patrick Mahomes, he's playing with Drew Lock or Geno Smith.
Yeah, and even if he's good, like, you know, and in some ways it's Miles Sanders, right? Like, Miles Sanders has good breakaway ability.
Yeah, I'm not like disparaging Kenneth Walker, the player, because I think he's a pretty good runner.
Yeah, I think he's better than Miles Sanders. I think he's probably a lot better than CEH, but it's just like, man, the situation, it's like, I mean, maybe it's a little J.K. Dobbins-y where, like, he'll retain value even through an injury potentially.
But Dobbins is holding that value because of who he plays with. It's because he plays with Lamar.
Yeah, and people think he's good.
People are just remembering the Mark Ingram season. Like, it's like that Mark Ingram season is going to keep us overdrafting Lamar Jackson running backs for, like, forever.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it's like J.K. Dobbins on a Drew Lock team.
Well, and the weird thing about it is that the redraft market is saying the Kenneth Walker dynasty drafters are wrong, because Kenneth Walker still goes after London and Burks and Wilson and Olave, like, on Underdog right now. All those guys are going ahead of him.
That's because they are wrong. And and Walker should be going later. I mean, I guess it depends. Like, if you have, you know, in certain league types, maybe I could see it. But because Walker will, I think he probably will hold value decently well, just kind of based on the Dobbins-like talent evaluation. And I would be pretty surprised if we didn't think, like, okay, he's good at least. But I mean, look, we got to talk about Ronald Jones in every podcast, and I'll bring him up here. He came in underweight, two down guy, didn't have the receiving profile, and he was a second round pick, and it went real bad as a rookie. And I don't know, you would never project that that was like a really bad outcome for a second round pick.
Yeah.
But these things do happen. And, you know, I am a big Jones stan. I think he's a talented player, but it can happen even for a talented player. And Kenneth Walker is much better than Jones. He could still be in a pretty rough spot as a rookie, because Penny led the league in rush yards over expected last year.
He was so good the last six games of the season.
He almost had more rushing yards over expected than Nick Chubb on, like, almost 200 less carries. I think that's off the top of my head, but it's like, it was nuts how efficient he was last year. And rush yards over expected is a good stat, in my opinion. Jonathan Taylor led the league. Nick Chubb was second, and Rashad Penny was third. Like, Kenneth Walker has to be, like, really good to make a dent this year, unless, I don't know, for whatever reason, they just use him exclusively.
Or if Penny gets hurt. If Penny gets hurt, he could be in, which, you know, that I get. If that's your argument, is Penny is made of glass and the Seahawks run a lot.
He's also won a one-year deal. So, right, there is upside. If, let's say, Walker plays well, he sort of matches Penny. It's like a 1-2 thing, like we're thinking. But then Carroll gets fired and Penny leaves. And a new coaching staff is, like, you know, interested in Walker as a starter. They don't draft anyone very high. They, you know, maybe they bring in, like, a Brian Robinson type in the fourth round or something.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be pretty exciting. So there's upside, I guess.
So, and then the other guy, very interesting, Malik Willis, right? I think you can make an argument for Malik Willis anywhere from 10, probably, like where Dotson goes sometimes. That's one of the ones that's, like, very specific based on your team, right? Like, if you need points out of your guy year one, you're probably not taking him. But if you are in a rebuilding type situation, I mean, Malik Willis was a month ago before the draft and the one, you know, the ones that we were doing, he was going 101. I mean, he was literally just going 101.
Yep. Yeah. I took him, I traded up for him in the auction league to take him, I believe, at 11. And I think Leone might have taken him if I hadn't traded up for him. I think he was deciding between him and David Bell or something. So, I obviously am still pretty interested in Malik Willis. It's like, I do tend to think that he's going to play this year if the Titans don't make the playoffs. And when you look at what they did, they get rid of AJ Brown, and now they're reliant on a rookie wide receiver as the number one guy, who I obviously like a lot, but you'd have to imagine that they go very run heavy this year, like even more run heavy than
extremely
they did last year.
Extremely run heavy.
Yeah. Which isn't a great way to win games. And Derrick Henry, they gave him so many carries last year. They didn't really spell him enough. And, you know, he has a foot injury and ends the season. Like, he's going to be 28 this year, right? It's
29.
Yeah, dude, like, that's not a good – you're trying to make the playoffs on the back of a 29-year-old running back who's coming off a foot – season-ending foot injury.
Oh, no, and like, no, I lied. 28. His birthday is okay. January 4th.
Well, either way, it's just not – it's just, like, the chances of them – missing the playoffs, you know, are decently high. And if they miss the playoffs, I just don't see why they wouldn't check out Malik Willis, right, over those last three games. Maybe they don't. Maybe they stick with Tannehill and they want to run it back. They don't want to kind of bruise his ego or whatever. But I don't know. I think we're probably seeing him this year. And, man, his skill set, like, yeah, it's not a complete skill set, but I kind of feel the same way I do about Malik Willis as I do about Treylon Burks. So it's like, he landed in a really good spot for what the team sort of thinks about kind of who he is as a player. Like,
he's kind of like fancy Tannehill, dude. Like, not that accurate, runs around a lot. Yeah,
exactly.
I totally get why they would have wanted him. I totally get it.
Yeah. And the Titans do not ask Ryan Tannehill to like sit back, drop, you know, make his drops.
Intricate reads, you know, perfect throws. Like, that's not what they do.
They don't do that at all. There's like, let's get this. He's a former wide receiver. He's athletic. Let's get him on the move. Let's get, you know, play action stuff. Like, let's just give him half the field to work with. Like, I think Willis would be really awesome in that type of scheme. So I don't know. I mean, and the other thing about the Titans is that Tannehill was not supposed to be their starter. They're another team that was like, well, this guy is struggling and we've got this other guy and he's actually playing pretty well. Let's just go with him. So, you know, some teams you feel like the Malik Willis type of guy would have to just wow them, completely blow them away to get an opportunity. I don't think that's the case if they've missed the playoffs, you know?
Yeah. So I really like him. The thing is, and this is, by the way, this is just a direct shot at Anthony Miko and Michael Leone. Taking David Bell over George Pickens is just fucking indefensible. It is indefensible. And I think that anyone who's like, did I really want to get David Bell out of this rookie draft? Like, he's fine. I think he's probably actually quite a good selection where I think he should go, which is immediately after Watson, Dotson, and Pickens. I think like if you had the 203 and you got David Dotson. Bell. I mean, I don't like Dotson, but he was the 16th pick. It's like, David Bell was a third round pick, you know?
Yeah. I guess Dotson is just like such a low upside.
It's he's the worst. I don't want him. I don't want him. And I would take Pickens over Dotson. It would be like a snap call, but I mean, just knowing what we know about first round versus third round wide receivers, it's like, you can't do that. You got to take Dotson over Bell.
I think you can and should do it. You've got a productive player in Bell, 3-year guy who was he's not that athletic, but getting that day two draft capital is a big deal. Not falling to the fourth is a huge deal. And he's decent size. Like, we're basically projecting him to be Jarvis Landry. He's got the appropriate size to be Jarvis Landry, big slot type of guy, much better. The other thing about David Bell, and one of the reasons I'm totally okay taking him over Dotson, is that like, what he is going to provide in real life will not be as valuable as what he'll provide us in PPR leagues.
That, so, you know what? That is a good point. Is like, Dotson could be like, you know, it's like before Henry Ruggs murdered someone, this used to be what people said about him, is he was a first round pick because you need a guy to stretch the field. You need a guy with that crazy speed, but maybe he wouldn't be that valuable in fantasy, which was true, right? Is what he did was he opened up the field for Waller. Bell is like the exact opposite, where he's just like, I'm going to run 7 yards, turn around and catch the ball. He's Zach Ertz, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So you're like, you're getting this player who maybe that role is only worth a third round pick, but like you're getting with that archetype, a third round guy with his profile has historically been a really strong bet for PPR leagues. Dotson's profile, like, yeah, he can stretch the field, which by the way, he does not have elite speed. He's only 178 pounds. He's like, I think around a 4.43, which is not slow, but like, I think he's probably going to be a slot receiver by a second or third year. So I just think it was a straight up bad pick by Washington, but whatever, even if he's better as a field stretcher than I think he'll be, it's the Darnell Mooney thing, man. Like Darnell Mooney is the upside case for Dotson, and no one wants to trade for Darnell Mooney in a league. And no one's that excited about having him on their team. It's like, I mean, I think Dotson in a couple of years would be lucky to have a quarterback like Justin Fields. So,
yeah, no, that is a good point. It's like, we don't know, but Pickens over Bell, dude, there's no way. This is insane. I mean, Pickens was like, if we want to talk about how we're forecasting like Smith and Igba, you know, literally a year out, like Pickens was supposed to be that guy where he was like, he was mocked in the first round. People were like, he was the wide receiver one of the class. He was the 5-star recruit, you know, at Blue Blood program, like et cetera, et cetera. And then he tore his knee and had, apparently, I guess he's a dickhead is what teams were saying. Because apparently he just is like, maybe not that fun to be around. But if that's true, which I always take that with a grain of salt because you hear these pre-draft things for lots of reasons. If that's even true, he went to like the right place for that because it's like, Tomlin's been the head coach for 20 years. And if you really want to do some psychoanalysis, who does Tomlin not like? Tomlin doesn't like Claypool because Claypool is not like that. Claypool is just hanging out, listening to music at practice, right? Remember that whole thing when he got benched for Ray McCloud because he was like too soft?
And Juju with the TikToks, you know?
Juju with the – Pickens is going to be the opposite. Pickens is going to be like throwing safeties to the ground in practice for fun. Like Pickens is the reverse of that.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to be like talking about how he's the new Hines Ward, you know, the blocking guys.
Literally, I can like literally like hear Bill Cowher on the CBS broadcast right now being like, this young man, George Pickens, look how aggressive he is.
We had a guy like this named Hines Ward.
I can see it playing. Come on, dude. Pickens, I think that Pickens is the biggest value in these rookie drafts because if a couple, you know, dominoes had fallen, you know, ripples in time, had gone a different way. We're talking about him going fourth or fifth in these rookie drafts, I think.
I was a little bit, I'm a little regretful. I didn't trade up. I had the whatever pick I needed. I was one pick behind you and I let you take Pickens and then I took Christian Watson. And I am a little regretful. I didn't like pay whatever, you know, small piece I would have needed to pay to just take Pickens. Cause I think Watson obviously has a lot of upside, but like, when they sign Julio Jones or Will Fuller, you know,
or Jarvis Landry or Odell Beckham, which every major NFL reporter has said is coming. Rap Sheets tweeted this, Pelissero's tweeted this. They've all said this, that the Packers are if you gave me odds right now that they sign one of Julio, Landry, Fuller, or there's a fourth guy. Who's the fourth guy? Beckham. That they sign one of those. I'd make that like -200 that they're signing one of those guys.
Yeah, and if those guys were there now, we would be less excited about Watson. And, like, one of them's going to be there. So I guess it's possible that one of them is not, but, man, that would be so weird. Those guys, I assume, would want to go play with Aaron Rodgers, and, like, Rodgers has to be pounding the table for them to sign somebody. And they're young enough. Julio's, I guess, you know, maybe Julio excluded, but, like...
Julio's a million, yeah.
Yeah. But like if Will Fuller is there and has a good year, even if he's there on a prove it deal, they'll probably bring him back. So it's like the chances of Watson with a very boom bust profile, you know, and we've debated whether or not it takes a while to play with Rodgers stuff is real or whatever. But I think it's probably real for Christian Watson, who's like by all accounts, very raw. You know, he's like he's great downfield and he's great on like schemed up short stuff.
I wonder if there's a buying window on Christian Watson after this year. I wonder if maybe, he kind of has a, what's a good comparable? Not like a Hardman first year, but like, I'm not coming up with a great example of a guy.
Hardman's kind of an interesting one because he was really efficient on per target basis as a rookie. We were like semi excited.
He played like 90% of the snaps in his first game ever. Remember that? Cause Tyreek got hurt. And then
the ultimate sell window on Mecole Hardman was like shortly after the draft. Remember
when Tyreek was suspended or thought he was going to be suspended. Yeah.
People were like, oh my God.
Yeah. He's done. Mecole Hardman. He's out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just like, I should be more interested in Watson. Cause my whole deal is I like to draft guys who go to good situations like that. Like Dynasty Twitter just doesn't agree with me on this at all. But I like Hardman, Jalen Tolbert, who we're going to talk about here in a little bit, like snapping up Jalen Tolbert, like these guys who just go into good situations and good offenses. But I don't, something just leaves me a little hollow because maybe the Packers are actually not that great of a landing spot because he's got to convince Aaron Rodgers he's good. And that seems like
also a ticking clock here. Aaron Rodgers is like,
38.
So I don't know, man. Like if your best thing is that you're a deep threat and you're raw and also you're old. So like how much better are you going to get at everything else? And you got a quarterback who could be declining, especially in his deep ball in the next year or two. It's just not, it's not ideal, but I will say I did take him in the auction league. And one of the things I like playing in these industry leagues is that like I'll end up with guys like Christian Watson who like I probably won't have any of Christian Watson in like, you know, the FFPC, FFWC type of stuff.
Yeah.
So I think I'm quite happy to have some exposure to him because, I mean, the ceiling is obviously massive. If he ends up as Aaron Rodgers' number one option and he's a hyper-athletic dude, he's good downfield. He's not going to be Devontae Adams, obviously. No one thinks that. But like what if he's MVS and – he gets like just a little more usage in the intermediate area, kind of like Alan Lazard. Like if he's a combination of Alan Lazard and MVS, I mean, that's pretty great. You know, basically what if he's like James Jones? That's not bad.
James Jones, people don't remember this, but he had a 15 touchdown season.
Yeah. The bar is actually not that high for how good he needs to be. Granted that they don't sign a healthy Will Fuller, you know, a Jarvis Landry, a Julio Jones. I think that probably would impact him.
Yeah. So who are some of your favorite guys like after McBride goes and it kind of just becomes, you know, play grab ass, you know, pick whoever you want. I have three guys I really like: Wandale, Tyrion Davis Price, and Jelani Woods. I know you are a noted Jelani Woods hater.
Yeah, Leone was he actually convinced me to move him up in my ranks relative to some of the late round running backs, but I still have him behind Daniel Bellinger. I still have him behind Jeremy Rucker. Like I just straight up don't get it.
Explain to me who Daniel Bellinger is.
He's I believe fourth round tight end that the Giants selected. He's also quite athletic. So the whole thing with Woods is like, he's got the highest athleticism score ever, I think, in relative athletic score.
Yeah, correct.
But Bellinger also is really athletic. I don't know what he ranks in that, but like, I don't know. He's got to be like 90 percentile plus. And he lands in a situation I think is more interesting long-term, where, you know, he's going to be in a day ball offense. They have Ricky Seals-Jones there right now. So he could like realistically be starting for them by the end of the year. He was also more productive as a receiver over the course of his career. He has a 15% yardage share. Jelani Woods had a 14% yardage share last year, which was his only year where he was even remotely productive. He is a fifth year senior. He transferred to Virginia and he got used as a receiver finally in his fifth year, but not that much. It wasn't like he was that great. He wasn't that efficient. He wasn't like crazy inefficient as a senior, but he didn't blow anyone away as a receiver. And so basically the bet is just like he's athletic, but he lands I mean, Mo'Ali Cox is going to play. Kylan Granson, they drafted specifically to be kind of a receiver type. You know, they've run a committee there at tight end for years. I don't expect them to commit.
See, but that part makes me bullish. The fact that they've always done the committee thing and they've always kind of played two tight ends makes me bullish on him, because that really increases the chance that he gets on the field. He is much less likely to be in a situation where Logan Thomas is running 99.5% of the routes ahead of him. He'll get some snaps as a rookie.
Yeah, and maybe, like, because you guys like him for whatever reason, I should just raise him up in my ranks, because I could draft him and flip him. But, like, that's to me, that's like your only play, because it's like,
no, your only play is that he ends up scoring some touchdowns.
But, like, Kylan Granson actually got on the field last year, and he's like, people are cutting him now. No one wants him.
Yeah, because he didn't do anything.
He was like, I mean, I think he had like 1.13 yards per out run, which is like Cole Kmet's career average, and everyone's still drafting him. Like, it's
but he was also a fourth round pick instead of a third round pick.
Yeah, I guess at tight end, I don't really care about the day three stuff. I mean,
Trey McKitty was a third round pick. It's like,
yeah,
he's useless.
I think, yeah, George Kittle was a fourth round pick. Like, we've tended to actually see some guys emerge,
yeah,
from like the fourth and fifth rounds at tight end. And tight ends kind of come from everywhere. Like, we're not like the really good Darren Waller came out of nowhere. Travis Kelce was not, I mean, I think he might have been a third round pick, but he was not like this heralded, you got to draft Travis Kelce as a rookie type of dude. Zach Ertz was not someone we were like super excited about. I think he might have been a second round pick.
Yeah, tight end is just like we've said this before. It's totally random. But I mean, so I'm not hating on you for the Bellinger call, but just that Jelani Woods is literally the most athletic dude in the database. And
but he wasn't a receiver, really.
Well, you know, neither was Jimmy Graham. He was a power forward.
Yeah, okay. All right, sure.
So, yeah.
But I mean, like, isn't Mo'Ali Cox super athletic? And it's like, yeah, but he's like basically a blocker. Like, I think Woods might be mostly a blocker. Like, he's not, he does not have the profile of someone who's like primarily out there to catch.
Well, and if he is, then you can just cut him and that's fine.
Right. Which is, but I mean, that's why I have him ranked lower than everybody's, because like, I want to be able to cut him. Like, I have him ranked with Rucker and Bellinger, because like, Rucker to me is a very similar play to Rucker, although Rucker's not as athletic, but Rucker, like, it makes more sense why he wasn't used a ton as a receiver, because he was playing with Jaxon Smith-Njigba and Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. Like,
yeah.
And the film guys really like Rucker. They think he's like, he can be like just a solid starting tight end. He's probably like a Cole Kmet type, but he's got a path there to like being a starter. And
yeah,
that's a system that utilizes the tight end pretty heavily. So, like, if you think about, like, in 2 years, I'd kind of just rather have a guy with a job, even if we don't, like, think that highly of him as a receiver, because he'll, that alone has, like, decent amount of value in these super flex best ball leagues.
Yeah, no, it does. So who are some of your – who are the dudes that you're trying to accumulate in the third and fourth rounds?
Well, this is cheating a little bit. Tyler Algier is, like, probably more of a second-round guy, but he's someone I'm drafting a lot of. And I think he'll get steamed in redraft as well. It's probably already starting a bit.
If he gets the first carry of their first preseason game, he's like a seventh round pick.
Yeah. I mean, he's not fast. He had 4.6 40, but he's big. He's like, I think 224. And he is kind of like gets up to speed pretty quickly, hard to bring down once he's up to speed, and therefore has a really strong breakaway numbers. And so it's kind of like, yeah, I think probably a perfect fit for, like, it kind of hit me, maybe like Deontay Foreman is kind of a comp in this.
Yeah.
And the reason that comes to mind is because Atlanta is just trying to be knockoff Tennessee. And, you know, if you think about, like, what if Deontay Foreman was going to be the Falcons starter this year? That's what I think Tyler Algier could end up being. And he actually had a higher yards per route run than Breece Hall at BYU. He's not a zero as a receiver. So they're not going to throw a ton to him there, but, like, you know, he could be kind of the lead back who gets some, like, maybe Miles Sanders-y or whatever, where he gets some receiving value, even if he's more of kind of a two down guy. So I think he's pretty nice. The opportunity there is pretty good. And I think that like the system fit and everything is pretty perfect. And he's pretty cheap. So I draft him a lot. And then talking about tight ends, Greg Dulcich, man.
Yeah.
I really like Greg Dulcich.
I take such umbrage with this take. I heard this Dulcich propaganda on Ship Chasing last night, and I'm not having it at all.
I'm gonna send you some videos. Ship Chaser Timu was sending me videos of when the Broncos were drafting this guy and then when they met him and stuff, and they're just like so psyched about him, and they're like talking about how he gives them something they don't have, and he's got soft hands. He's like a natural receiver, which by the way, he is a big wide receiver in the mold of Mike Gesicki, except he has a better receiving profile than Gesicki did coming out, but that's the archetype. And he's athletic. He's not like the crazy hyper athleticism of a Jelani Woods, but he's not that far off. He's fast, and he was really efficient as a receiver and really productive as a receiver. So if you look at the Broncos teams, we're all blinded by our love for Albert O. But if you look at what the Broncos did, they took a receiving first tight end in Noah Fant, traded him away to get Russell Wilson, immediately drafted in the third round a tight end who's very similar to Noah Fant, that he's basically just a big receiver. I mean, would it be crazy for them to use him a lot? I don't think so, man. And you're getting him you can get him in the early fourth in tight end premium leagues. You can get him in the early fourth. It's crazy, dude. The value on Greg Dulcich right now is insane.
I can't even believe I just let you do that on my show. anything that you would say for Dulcich as a player, like Albert O is like twice that. Now, the stuff about the Broncos liking him and giving him, whatever. I don't know. Maybe it'll prove to be true. But Albert O is 260 pounds. Ran a 4.4. He's 6'6". He's already gotten on the field in the NFL. He's already been efficient at the NFL level in a way that you would not have expected a guy that young. And they fucking took Noah Fant with the 10th overall pick 3 years ago. And they were like, you know what? Later, dude, we're good. Like we got Albert O. Like it's fine.
Well, they didn't. Like some other dudes did. And then they came in and were like, we need Russ Wilson, and the Seahawks think that getting Noah Fant somehow makes up for giving away a franchise quarterback, so sure. And then they got Greg Dulcich to replace him.
Albert O had a greater yards per target than Sutton, Fant, and Hamler last year.
Albert O has been awesome on a limited sample. Awesome. But it's a new coaching staff. Maybe they don't love what they're seeing from him. I don't know. The other thing is that they're a different type of player. Alberto is more of an inline tight end, like a classic, wide tight end.
Yeah.
And Dulcich is not that guy. Dulcich, like I said, it's going to be the Mike Gesicki. He's probably going to be playing in the slot almost exclusively.
Couldn't you, if you were being a bear, couldn't you argue that that's actually bad for his short-term development? Because that would mean giving him snaps over Judy, Hamler.
No. No, it wouldn't, because he's playing in the slot in the sense of he's not lining up on the line, but he's basically the fourth wide receiver. He's in the slot to the right side of the formation, like Gesicki. Gesicki played with a slot receiver all the time. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it goes like X slot receiver, tight end split off the line, Z receiver. That's what I think you'll see a lot of, if that's how they want to use Dulcich. But do they want to basically have a four wide receiver set with Dulcich as the fourth receiver? Or do they want to use, a traditional tight end? And my guess is that they probably do some of both. And that maybe you also do see Dulcich playing big slot in, where we typically see a slot receiver. Maybe you'll see some of that too with Albert O on the field as kind of a classic two tight end set. But I think he gives them some versatility. I think we have to be open to the idea that Dulcich eats into one of our favorite players' roles, given that they just committed to this really interesting prospect in the third round.
What if I don't want to be open to it?
Then let me scoop up Greg Dulcich, man. He's honestly the best value in these rookie drafts, truly.
Like, no, Tyrion Davis prices. I'm dead ass. I can't imagine leaving a rookie draft without taking him in the third round.
Pre-draft, I had a chance to take him with the 4-12, and I was like, actually, I kind of like Tyler Goodson. And I'm really, obviously,
regarding. I mean, there's nothing about his profile that I'm like, oh, this guy. It's just that he just got drafted in the third round by Kyle Shanahan. It's like, the guy could be, you know, he went to University of Nebraska Kearney, and Shanahan was watching his game on like local access TV or something. It just doesn't matter. If Shanahan decides that he likes the guy, that's literally all that matters. And I, Ted Nguyen, who writes for The Athletic, he wrote an article, pretty good actually, about how like the three picks, the first three picks the 49ers took, how they fit in with the team. And he had like some pretty compelling stuff about how Tyrion Davis Price and Mitchell are like different runners, but they both fit the scheme just on different play calls, basically.
Wouldn't he be the Jeff Wilson?
He would be the Jeff Wilson, and Eli Mitchell would be the Mostert, right? Mitchell would be the Mostert, and Tyrion Davis Price would be the Tevin Coleman, Jeff Wilson, Carlos Hyde guy.
Right. Yeah. No, I need to be more open-minded to him, because he profiles as a plotter, but I agree. I mean, if like Jeff Wilson,
so does Carlos Hyde.
Yeah. Yeah. I probably need to scoop some of him.
Like Mitchell is probably better than him. In fact, I would say he almost definitely is, but Sermon is going the way of Joe Williams. I mean, they hated Trey Sermon so much that Kyle Juszczyk had to play like actual running back for a game. That the Packers game was the most snaps that Juszczyk has ever played in a game, and his most carries and his most targets. And it was because that's how little they wanted to play Trey Sermon.
Yeah. Do not discount Kyle Shanahan's ability to just completely ice a player. Like Dante Pettis was their second round pick, and they were just like,
he's gone. Done. He's gone, You're dude. They cut him. Joe Williams. They cut him. In fact, how about this? I was on a show with Bime 4 the other day. True or false, every year that Kyle Shanahan has been head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, the team has had a different lead rusher.
True.
True. He's been the head coach for 6 years.
Wow.
Every year.
Because Breida's in there, right?
Breida, it's Carlos Hyde, Breida, Mostert, Jeff Wilson Jr., Eli Mitchell. Wow. 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And McKinnon was never one. Isn't that funny? They gave McKinnon all that money and he never was.
God, that poor McKinnon, man. He could have been easily. I loved seeing him in the Chiefs. Why did he not get brought back?
He must have said something mean at Mahomes' wedding. Must have maybe
his wedding gift sucked, dude.
Well, Darrell Williams isn't either. Darrell, technically both of them are. I think probably one of them will get signed because they don't have an obvious third down back right now. So probably they're just waiting for, you know, camp and shit to shake out, and then probably one of them will sign. It doesn't even feel like the Chiefs without Darrell being there. You know what I mean? Like, it just feels weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is starting to feel a little bit like the 2019 Bucks when you had Ronald Jones, right? And then you got Darrell Williams kind of as the Dari Ogunbowale.
Yes.
And then CEH is Peyton Barber.
We're just gonna move on from that one. I can't even get there. And then the other guy is Brian Robinson, where it's like the same thing. It's just like, for whatever reason, the Washington football team does not like Antonio Gibson. And we already got we didn't even get to rookie mini camps before we got the thunder and lightning quote. I mean, literally, like, you know how much you have to hate Antonio Gibson to put him in a thunder and lightning with Brian Robinson?
You really do have to hate him.
You really got to hate him. Like, Gibson is so good. It's crazy.
It is. It's wild. I mean, but I think they're prepping for the inevitable, which is, you know, what the Colts had to do last year and what they had to do last year with Heinicke, where you just had to go super run heavy to
super
sort of
run heavy.
Hide how bad the passing game is. that's where they're headed. Like, there's almost no way that by like week 12, they're not just like, maybe we can score 14 points and win. Maybe. Let's just try it. And I mean, in that sense, Brian Robinson makes sense, right? Because they're going to, you can't give Antonio Gibson like 30 carries and he's probably going to get banged up and everything. So maybe it doesn't like spell total doom for Gibson, but it definitely spells doom for his upside. Like there's no scenarios where he's crushing, right?
If he's losing third downs to McKissick and goal line work to Brian Robinson, like just write it off. It's all over, dude.
I would be surprised if Robinson was like a goal line back for them. I mean, I would. I mean, Gibson's big, right? He's like 224, 225.
Yeah, but Brian Robinson is big. Brian Robinson's like 230, and he scored 16 touchdowns last year.
I would be more worried if they had gotten Dameon Pierce, who seemed to have a real nose for the end zone.
Dameon Pierce feels like such a white flag in rookie drafts, you know? it's like great. I just got the Texans starting running back. Hope I can flip him for a 2024 third in 12 months.
Yeah, exactly. You draft him in the second so you can get that sweet 2023 third.
It's like inflation. It's like I got paid in US dollars, so it's worth 10% less in a year.
Yeah. Dameon Pierce is a new car.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, I can't take him. He's a second round. I can't take Dameon Pierce.
He's too expensive.
Well, people viewed it as a good landing spot, but it's really not, because the landing spot meant that he's going to get touches right away, which increased his price. He would have been way better being one of these redshirt guys.
Yeah, like he would be really fun in Las Vegas if instead of Zamir White.
Or if Pierre Strong and Dameon Pierce switch landing spots, that actually is perfect. That actually would have been good for both of them, I think.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. Yeah, it's just, I mean, and the other thing with these rebuilding teams is like, okay, do we think the Texans are a smart organization who's going to make good decisions? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
So what's the classic thing that they're going to do? Draft a running back really high, way too early, right? I mean, like we just saw this with the Jets, and I actually don't even blame the Jets, because you're like, we have to make Zach Wilson work. We're just gonna throw stuff against the wall. You know, Breece Hall's good. We're drafting him, but like you see this all the time with these types of franchises where they're like Dameon Pierce can play well, and it's like they're just gonna draft whatever great running back, whatever this guy you just told me about, Bijan. They're drafting him.
Oh man, I really hope not. Bijan, I really hope that Bijan gets to go play for a good team, like Jonathan Taylor did.
That would be nice, but
yeah,
they're drafting somebody.
Where are you at? Where are you at on Danny Gray? The beats were talking Danny Gray up too.
I'm not big on Danny Gray. He's fast. When I had Dane Brugler on, he mentioned him, and I was talking about Christian Watson and Alec Pierce. And, you know, kind of asked him about the, and Jalen Tolbert kind of asked him about these speed guys. He was like, Danny Gray's in that mix. He really liked him. So, and obviously he goes in the third round. So maybe there's something that the numbers are missing with him, but he's not my favorite type of profile. I don't know. I mean, like San Francisco's tough because there's just not that many targets. And then you also have Debo, presumably there, Kittle. Ayuk can play. And so it's like, where are the targets, you know?
There was a big puff piece on Ayuk that came out this week where all the coaches said really complimentary things about him. Basically just like he got hurt in training camp and had a hard time getting back, but he figured it out.
Yeah, I think they didn't. I mean, Shanahan does seem like a bit like he uses the stick, you know what I mean, in terms of the motivational strategies. Like,
yeah,
I don't think they liked how he was rehabbing or something. Like, I think that must have been the doghouse, you know, because he was clearly in the doghouse.
Yes. Yeah, he was. I mean, he was playing behind River Crackraft.
Yeah. That's how you know.
You got anyone else interesting who really needs out here?
Well, Tolbert. I mean, Tolbert.
We haven't talked about Tolbert. I mean, I think Tolbert is, I'm fine with him at like 208. I don't care. Take him.
The nice thing about Tolbert is that he's going to play right away, right? He almost has to. And then
what are they going to do? Play James Washington?
But even if they do, I mean, Gallup is not going to be playing.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I mean, Tolbert is like free money right now, I think.
Yeah. And then I think, I mean, James Washington's not very good.
I mean, he's not terrible, if he was good, we would have seen more evidence of it up until this point.
Right. So, you know, and he's also new to the team. Tolbert's a very interesting prospect. You know, I would say he's got a pretty decent range of outcomes as a third round pick going to the Cowboys with his profile. He's a fifth year guy, but pretty darn productive. So yeah, I mean, and he kind of profiles as like someone who could play the Michael Gallup role.
Gallup was a third round pick.
Yep. He actually profiled pretty similar to Michael Gallup.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think he sort of slots in there for as long as they need him. And then he could easily play over Washington the rest of the way. So you're getting a quick look at him. Like, I think obviously we don't know. I mean, he could totally bomb training camp. They could play some no name guy over him.
That happens Simi all the Fehoko. Time.
Yeah, easily. But like, it, you know, as much of a sure thing as any of these rookies are that are like not the super premium guys for early playing time, like he's a pretty good bet. And then, you know, you get a bunch of new information about him. And there's also a pretty good long-term path to playing time. And he's playing with Dak Prescott. I like him a lot.
Yeah. And where are you at on Wandale? What's the final word on Wandale? We taking him? We feeling good about him? 57th pick, pretty good.
Yeah, I think the final word is like, we know and we've known for a long time that like athleticism at the wide receiver position really isn't like something to get super hung up on in either direction. You know, like the speed guys often end up being overdrafted.
Yeah.
And the unathletic guys are sometimes, I mean, go look at Cooper Kupp's workout numbers. That's suck. True.
Yeah.
You know, Calvin Ridley's workouts sucked. Like, obviously, if a guy's really unathletic, that gives him a lower chance of hitting. But I don't know that the low athleticism necessarily means the ceiling isn't there.
Well, he wasn't unathletic. He's just small.
Yeah, right. He was like mildly unathletic, but it's not, you're right, it's not a disaster. David Bell's maybe the more athletic of the two. But in either case, I think there is a ceiling still because wide receiver is such a skilled position. Like these guys can like, you know, do all the little things they need to do. It doesn't really matter if they're also like not that great at running the three cone or whatever. So yeah. I think that as a slot receiver, maybe he can get away with the height thing. I mean, the height thing is an issue. He's like five.
He's a baby. And a half, isn't he? He's a baby. Yeah.
That's not ideal, but I don't know. I mean, the second round draft capital, he had a 35% yardage share over his career, which I can't get over because he was like a hybrid player. Like, how did that even happen?
Well, it's not just, I literally watched crazy. All his games because I loved him. I love, dude. He just like gets open like that. Like, go, if you go watch his final, no one's going to do this. His final game at Kentucky, this bowl game, his team has to score. His team has got to score to win their bowl game. And obviously it's like a bowl game and it like doesn't really matter, but he gets, I think three catches on the final drive. And it's just like, and he had been injured already in this game. And it's just like, he was just like, I got to get open, dude. He's like Pickens, dude. He's just got to get open.
I think he settled into a range where you're not really risking that much by taking him. And I do think, and that he's probably going to get pegged as like this low ceiling play, but like, slot receivers have some value, you know, like people are getting excited now about Hunter Renfrow and everything. And, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown's value skyrocketed. I wouldn't write him off as like a low ceiling guy. I mean, especially for trade value purposes, he's probably not.
Yeah. So to amend my record, his final ever game, the Citrus Bowl, his team is down. They have to score a touchdown in the final drive. And in that game, he went 10 for 170 in that game. Right. No one else on his team had more than 28 receiving yards. Like he's just one of those guys.
The other thing is that Kadarius Toney can play on the outside. It was actually pretty good on the outside last year.
Yeah, so, I'm trying to talk you down on this because I'm trying to poison your brain with Kadarius Toney stuff because I'm trying to pry him away from you.
Listen, you got a lot of work to do. The offers you're sending, I'm not even thinking about. I'm like, oh, I have to click the no button. Yeah, that was a waste of my time.
That's how I work. It's a very grading process. My trading process.
Well, you're on a schedule to get them by about 2025
right now. Yeah, I mean Tony right now is like going like 20 picks after Robert Woods in like Best Ball Mania 3.
Yeah, it's nuts. I don't think that they're mutually exclusive. I think like Sterling Shepard tore his Achilles, right? So they're looking for a new slot receiver. Kadarius Toney can play on the outside. They've got to make a decision whether or not they want to move on from him, because they've got Darius Slayton, who's totally capable of playing on the outside as well. So maybe, you know, this selection isn't great news for Toney, but I don't know that they're necessarily competing with each other for playing time.
I think you're probably right. Yeah. I hope so. Long live Wandale.
Long live Wandale.
The schedule release. I mean, we'll have a 3-hour podcast tomorrow breaking down the schedule release. We got to. Yeah.
I've actually considered, because I did a Best Ball Mania on Ship Chasing last night. That was the first one I've done. And I actually was thinking about like right around like 5 or 6 o'clock tonight, jumping in one, maybe a couple, because like who in their right mind is drafting
right then before the schedule?
No one sharp would ever do that. So I'm wondering if it's just like me and a bunch of donkeys, which maybe I'm a donkey too. So it's just a donkey draft.
I'm hoping I have like accidentally ran into some great stacks. What I'm really hoping is that I haven't accidentally run into a bunch of teams where both of my quarterbacks are on bye the same week. Not great. Yeah.
That'd be unique. You get that through. It's unique.
Where are you at on drafting two running backs from the same team? I saw TJ Hernandez tweet this yesterday. 20% of the finalists last year had running backs from the same team.
So I haven't listened to Leone and Herzig did a podcast on this, right? I haven't listened to that yet.
I've also not listened to it, but yeah, I think you're right.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I would be like, off the top of my head, without having done any research on it, like recently, you know, like I wouldn't be that open to like taking a true handcuff, I suppose. But like, is the argument you take Deontay Foreman or whatever with McCaffrey? I'd be more open to the idea of taking like,
I think it's better when it's like that, where it's like Derrick Henry and Hassan Haskins or, not Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon, but Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison, where it's like your dude's out, you're like locked into 25 points from the backup. I think those are the spots where you're wanting to do it.
Yeah, maybe with those with a Mattison type who's just like so clearly the guy.
Yeah,
but I guess I would be, the other thing is like you can't really do it with Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon because it's so expensive,
right?
So maybe McCaffrey and Foreman would be the way to do it because Foreman's basically free.
CH and Rojo together.
That, I mean, that's actually a price range where
9 and 11 or sense. 9 and 10. Yeah.
They can't sign Darryl though.
In a ship chasing draft, that's like 12 and 14.
That's a 17th, 18th round.
I hopped into one like that ran concurrently with you guys. It wasn't the one that you were in, but like a bunch of the ship chasers were in it. And I was like, this is not even fun. Cam Akers was a 6th round pick in that draft.
Yeah, but you have to, it is fun, but you have to know you're in the draft ahead of time. Because Pete was like, we got the 101, so we're like, should we take Jonathan Taylor? And Pete was like,
no,
you
just
guys don't
Chase.
Get it. We took Cup. But yeah, it's, and then, yeah, I think we went 4 wide receivers to start. And then it's actually quite fun.
Yeah. Like, oh, then it's good.
Look who's here. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. What's coming up on NBC Sports Edge?
NBC Sports Edge. Well, we're working on a draft guide, so you know, look for that, which will be out this summer, and working on ranks and content for that as we speak. I'm working on Dynasty rankings update, and I don't got too much else in the works at the moment.
All right, there we go, guys. Wrap up your rookie drafts. You know, have fun.
Oh, I should say, tomorrow we're doing. I'll be on with Rotopat and the. Bet the Edge guys, and we're talking about win totals and
okay.
Some of our favorite bets there. So
yep, Jokic futures just paid out, so I have some shekels to throw on these win totals. Everyone will be back next week. See you then.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.